Good evening. Trump blames China, but who's really at fault? Workers in fear at meat plants in Iowa, and Bernie Sanders knocked off the New York Democratic primary ballot. With these and other stories, I'm Paul D'Arienzo with some of the news for Thursday, April 30th, 2020. The number of Americans filing for unemployment benefits has climbed past a staggering 30 million, while Europe's economies have gone into an epic slide. The numbers lag, and there are possibly many more without jobs. The soaring unemployment comes as states are easing lockdowns caused by the coronavirus, and others have warned of a probable second wave of infections. The government reported 3.8 million laid-off workers. The data from Europe was just as grim. 130,000 people have died of the virus there, and the economies of 19 countries using the euro have contracted by nearly 4%. The virus has killed over 230,000 people worldwide. And since the controversy over his comments about bleach, President Trump has been having a hard time staying out of the limelight, despite apparent advice from his handlers. He blasted out tweets on a variety of subjects, but today he took some questions from the media. The first was about former General Michael Flynn, who was convicted of lying to the FBI about his contacts with Russia regarding the Trump campaign. New documents show FBI officials talking about not being seen as playing games by the White House. They were released as part of the change in plea that General Flynn has attempted after pleading guilty twice to the charges. Trump went ballistic on Thursday.
It was a disgrace. Well, it was a total disgrace. It's shocking. And I hear even more information came out today. What they tried to do to destroy him and to hurt this presidency was... Perhaps in our country's history, there's never been anything like it. An absolute disgrace. But I'll rely on what the vice president said. I can say this, and I think you understand this, John, very well. What happened to General Flynn should never happen again to a citizen of this country. Yes, please.
You said that Michael Flynn would come back even bigger and better. So are you going to pardon him? And if so, are you considering to bring him back into your administration?
Well, it looks to me like Michael Flynn would be exonerated based on everything I see. Look, I'm not the judge, but I have a different type of power. But I don't know that anybody would have to use that power. I think he's exonerated everything. I've never seen anything like it. What they did, what they wrote, you see this, General. You wouldn't want this happening to you, what they did to General Flynn. And it's just disgraceful. So, you know, I guess we'll get to that maybe someday or maybe not. Hopefully we won't have to get there.
The president was then asked about allegations first heard on WBAI that a woman named Tara Reid had accused Trump's rival, former Vice President Joe Biden, of sexual misconduct.
Surrogates going after him pretty hard with regard to these allegations from Tara Reid. What do you say to Joe Biden?
So I don't think they're going after him hard with regard to Tara
allegations. And what do you say to Joe Biden?
I don't know anything about it. I don't know exactly. I think he should respond. You know, it's... It could be false accusations. I know all about false accusations. I've been falsely charged numerous times. And there is such a thing. If you look at Brett Kavanaugh, this is an outstanding man. He was falsely charged. What happened with him was an absolute disgrace to our country. And I guess three of the four women have now admitted that.
Biden has denied the events described by Reid, but hasn't spoken about them recently. And then the president warmed to one of his favorite subjects, conspiracy theories about the role of China in the coronavirus pandemic. China has been blamed without evidence for either releasing or creating the virus.
They either didn't do it and, you know, they couldn't do it from a competent standpoint, or they let it spread. I would say probably it got out of control. But, you know, there's another case that how come they stopped all the planes and all of the traffic from going into China, but they didn't stop the planes and the traffic from coming into the United States and from coming into all over Europe? I mean, look at Italy. Look what happened to Italy. And it's very lucky. This country is very lucky. And I'm very lucky that I put the ban on China. As you know, very early on in January, we put the ban on in China. And that was a very early day. That wasn't a late day. That was an early day. Then we later put the ban on in Europe. And if we didn't do that, as Alex knows, we would have had a problem like you wouldn't have believed.
Yet other conspiracy theories blame the United States for loosening the virus against China, also without evidence. Jonathan Latham is executive director of the Bioscience Resource Project. He's written on bioterrorism and environmental issues. Latham says there were many faults in China's handling of the virus, but the real problem is environmental destruction that's prepping the world for more outbreaks.
These bats are transmitting these diseases to people, and they're going specifically to bat caves and climbing into bat caves, and according to these accounts, getting covered in bat pee and bat poo, right? So you've got, on the one hand, these people who have professed concern about this, and on the other hand, who are doing, in my opinion, extraordinarily risky things, not only crawling around in bat caves, but their gain-of-function research, right? There's a total contradiction there, as if this research attracts just risk non-adverse people.
Are humans just getting too much into the natural world? We're going after these poor pangolins and killing them. And is this what's going on in the world now? Is this a danger?
It's really a mistake to focus on wet markets and wildlife trade, right? The people who are going into the rainforest, for the most part, have bulldozers, and they're doing it to grow palm oil. They're doing it to log. They're doing it to grow soybeans. They're doing it to grow cattle. Right? What's really interesting about the narrative you see in the media is, firstly, there's this thing of, you know, if we go to these remote places, we'll bring back diseases. And then the narrative all of a sudden shifts to the few hundred or few thousand individuals who are involved in this wildlife trade, right? Which is nothing in comparison to the destruction of agribusiness palm oil and agribusiness cattle ranching and agribusiness soybean growing, right? So the narrative is completely misplaced, in my opinion.
Why all of a sudden, what's happened in the world in my lifetime that we didn't talk about diseases sweeping the world? We thought they were dead when I was a child. It was gone. Infectious disease was no longer a problem in Europe and America. And now they're saying that we have to see more and more of these coming and be ready for it. Why is that? What happened? Yeah.
It's simple. It's basically one word, propaganda. It's basically, we're going to the rainforest, we're cutting them down, we're burning them for soybeans, for cattle, for palm oil. The industry knows that the public is going to be upset. So they want to generate a narrative that doesn't blame them. The story is about wildlife traders, so that people can feel, you know, upset about the wildlife trade, but they don't want people to focus on agribusiness. For the longest time, the media was in denial about the climate change and about rainforest destruction and so forth. When it's now unavoidable, the industries involved are basically funding people to give different narratives, right? So they're using, these companies are using huge amounts of palm oil.
And let me just, last question, and we have to wrap it up. What about vaccinations? Is this part of the whole thing? I mean, the idea, it seems to me, is if we vaccinate everybody against this disease, then we can just go back to doing what we did in the first place.
Well, we may never generate a vaccine, right? This is one issue. This is very complicated. I mean, on the one hand, this research has been being funded. The EcoHealth Alliance is funding risky virological research at the Wuhan Institute of Virology, ostensibly in part to produce vaccines, right? If you listen to the interviews with the leaders of that research, they talk about vaccines all the time. And we may or may not ever develop vaccines. This is one thing that people don't understand, is, you know, we don't have vaccines for HIV after 30 years of trying, right? There's no guarantee. We don't have one for the common cold. We don't have one for all these other illnesses. The likelihood of developing a vaccine is not that high, frankly.
And anything you'd like to add?
There's so many interests in all this, and I would really like people to look into the background of all these organizations to try to understand what's going on.
And you're listening to the news on WBAI New York. I'm Paul D'Arienzo. On the eve of May 1st, International Workers' Day, workers who are still holding on to their jobs are facing unprecedented problems. On Tuesday, President Trump signed an executive order invoking the Defense Production Act to keep meat processing plants operating. Throughout the country, the workers in these plants have been among those on the front line. While industry leaders say they're happy with Trump's orders, many of the mostly immigrant workers on the line have been staying home, using up vacation and other paid leave days out of fear of the virus. Iowa has more than 6,800 confirmed cases and 148 deaths, but the state has made it clear if you take off your work without permission, you might not have a job when you come back. Iowa State Labor Official Dr. Beth Townsend laid out the rules.
We want to remind all individuals that if you are recalled to work and choose not to return, you may lose eligibility for unemployment benefits in addition to losing your job. We do have a provision in our unemployment code that allows an individual to quit a job if they feel that their workplace is unsafe. However, it takes more than a mere assertion by the employee to establish this to be true. If an employer establishes that they have taken the necessary steps, such as following industry standards established by OSHA guidelines, it may be difficult to establish a good faith basis to quit due to safety concerns.
In a video taken outside the cafeteria and provided exclusively to WBAI, workers in blue smocks and hairnets aided tables where plastic sheeting hung loosely from ceiling fixtures. The sheets did not separate workers or adequately divide the tables. It wasn't clear what purpose the dividers served. The executive director of the Center for Worker Justice in Eastern Iowa is Rafael Morataya. He says the way workers are treated in Iowa is an example of American hypocrisy.
The plant can be open. That's their decision. But workers are not willing to go to risk their life. That's the reality here in Iowa. That's why you can see in some plants, they are paying $4 more per hour in order to incentivize people to keep working. In some plants, they are not providing us the extra bonus or extra money, any nothing. People, they just keep in work. That's it. Workers know what is best for them and their community.
People's fear is keeping them away from work.
They can vacation and the benefit they can get. And even, you know, our population is in high risk in, you know, in a lot of ways, right? You know, diabetes is one thing, high pressure and asthma. So it's three factors that people are really aware. It's part of their right to keep in work if their life is in risk.
Is this going to affect store shelves in big cities? Are people going to walk into their supermarket and they're not going to see pork and beef products?
Probably. And I think consumers need to be aware this is an opportunity to educate the consumer, right? Who produce those meats? Immigrants and people who still live in those towns, they're attached to the town and they produce for us and feed America, right? And I think, yes, eventually we'll do a shortage of food. Yeah, for sure. I think it's time to think about that, how we can reverse the treatment of workers for the last 30, 40, 50 years in those meat plants. It's an opportunity for working to fight back in every way.
Last year, the government had ICE come through your plant and look for undocumented people to take off the plants. All of a sudden now, you're essential workers. Do you see any irony in that?
There is irony. I think it's part of the American, you know, hypocrisy. This is the full hypocrisy for the government, because immigrants are not only denied the stimulus check, right, for, you know, when they have a mixed status, for example, they don't see this benefit. They don't apply for unemployment, a lot of those, but they're feeding us. They are concerned, but, you know, those essential workers now, they're essential and they're obligated to work for us. This is the hypocrisy of this. Yes, it is. It's an irony, of course, but it's more like a hypocrisy bomb.
Are they bargaining? Are they talking to you in good faith?
I've been communicating more with one plant here, and I had to talk with one of the vice presidents there because he's missing some payment. So, yes, I am communicating with one of them.
Do you trust them when they say they're going to do things?
It's a good point, right? I think the corporation always see their best interest, not the interest of the workers. So their best interest now is to keep producing, keep, you know, making money. In this particular plan, they say April 13, they say, oh, we have only 8 cases. But, you know, a week later, they have 52. Even if that's right, what they say, they protected the community, giving masks, all the safety equipment, PPE, is not compliant. If that was the case, the virus was contained, but it was not contained. Mm-hmm. It's increasing. Workers are trusting in the company, but the corporation and the government have failed to provide safe to the workers.
What happens next?
Especially work. I think what happened next, the lawsuit has to be come out, you know, across the country, right? And people need to understand, the community need to understand, educate about who those workers are. Because this is true, right? This is one case, and who knows what the future can come back with another kind of flu, one other virus. It's time to think about that, how we can put those workers, how that line should be, because line is always fast. Women in that line sometimes cannot go to the restroom. Women, when women are pregnant, sometimes they make the number one when they sit in work, when they are working there, they cannot allow to go to the restroom, take break. So this is the exposure of the worker situation in the plants across America. It's time to slow down the line and don't see them as a profit.
You have essential workers who are most on the front line in order to provide food to millions of Americans, and yet your treatment is less than that.
Yeah, that's correct. Treatment is less than that. You know, we are being immigrants being criminalized. You know, for the last 3 years and a half, right? And then say we are coming from shitty countries. Now those immigrants coming from shitty countries are risking their life to feed America. How about that?
Rafael Morataya is executive director of the Center for Workers' Justice in Eastern Iowa. There will be no presidential primary in New York this year. The state's election officials removed every Democrat except Vice President Joe Biden from the presidential primary ballot on Monday, a move that had the effect of canceling the election. It was scheduled for June 23rd. The move angered Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders, who has suspended his campaign but is still in the race. The upstate vice president of the New York Progressive Action Group is Jay Belenka.
The reason given is to protect the electorate because in the COVID virus, which is totally bogus, because all they did was cancel one line on the ballot, and they're saying, well, there's 30 counties that don't have to have a primary there. Well, let's not talk counties. Let's talk the percentage of population. There's contested congressional races all in the metro area. I mean, I'm up in Washington County. I'm the upstate co-chair in IPAN. And there's not a Democratic primary, but there's Republican primaries up here. They're still going to have elections. And how can you say it's dangerous if it's too dangerous to have a primary, then it's too dangerous to have any primary. And that was basically their quote unquote, it's a beauty contest and frivolous to have a presidential primary.
So what's going to happen? How are they going to choose who the candidate is?
This violates the delegate selection rules that were adopted by the New York State Democratic Committee. People are supposed to be elected, not appointed. The state committee wants to appoint the delegates.
This is just the presidential primary.
Right. It's just the presidential primary. I mean, in the 15th, 16th, 17th districts down near you, there's like the primaries that are going to happen June 23rd. Also, on top of this whole thing, the governor has said and made rule, every voter's going to get an postage-paid application for an absentee ballot. It makes no sense.
Why doesn't it make any sense? I mean, you know, Biden's out.
First off, they're violating their own rules. Second, there's a lot more that goes on at the convention than selection of the presidential. The vice president has to be selected. The rules for the platform, all that. I've been a delegate before. All these other things get voted on at the convention. It's not just the presidential. Delegates are selected to go to the convention to represent those people, Democrats in that district. It goes beyond Biden and Bernie. It goes to the precedent of canceling an election. That's what the tin pot dictators do, and we decry it all the time.
So this is about Cuomo.
Well, his fingers are all over it, even though he says, oh, well, it was a Board of Elections decision. They didn't have to put anything in the budget to change anything. The election could have occurred. The election is still occurring. It's not like you're canceling elections statewide because the virus is too dangerous. No, you're just taking one line off the ballot. That's the difference.
So what are you going to do about it?
There's a lawsuit filed already by Andrew Yang to overturn that decision. I know of two or three more that are in the works.
That was Jay Belenka, by the way. He's the upstate vice president of the New York Progressive Action Group. The primary was originally scheduled for April 28th, but it was delayed 8 weeks due to the coronavirus pandemic. In related campaign news, Howie Aucoins, who is seeking the Green Party nomination for president, has been notified by Twitter that his campaign account has been reactivated after it was recently suspended. Twitter initially said that the account violated its rule on impersonation and without providing the candidate. It did not provide the candidate with a process to appeal the decision. Aucoins said, "Social media is our campaign's biggest megaphone. The shutdown by Twitter hurt our campaign. Twitter's actions have taken place at a time when Aucoins' support has surged after Bernie Sanders suspended his campaign. Aucoins, a retired Teamster and co-founder of the National Green Party, has also been nominated by Socialist Party USA. And that's some of the news for Thursday, April 30th, 2020. The news is produced by Linda Perry. Our engineer is Reggie Johnson. For the WBAI News, I'm Paul DiRienzo.